Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 189 at 17,630. The S&P 500 Index up 25 at 2,093. NASDAQ Composite up 49 at 5,089. Yield on the 10-year Treasury up 2 basis points at 2.25%. Oil up 59 cents at $47.98 per barrel. Gold up a dollar at $1,096.50 per ounce. Silver up 14 cents at $14.79. The Federal Reserve FOMC met today. They'll meet again tomorrow, then they'll issue a statement. Investors aren't expecting any major decisions this week, but they will be looking for hints on the Fed's timing for possible future moves. While consensus for a rate rise is leaning towards September, the wild card is now China. A growing number of market watchers are suggesting that before the end of the year is out, 2 interest rate hikes rather than just 1 could be on the cards. In the Treasury market, futures contracts suggested that investors were making the same mistake they made at the outset of the last 3 major tightening cycles by underestimating the amount the Fed funds rate will be raised. The implied rate on September 2016 contracts is 0.8%, while many forecasts are looking at 1.5% to 2%. Chinese shares whipsawed between gains and losses today as Beijing renewed its pledge to prop up their equities markets. The 144 Chinese companies with primary stock listings in the U.S. have erased nearly $40 billion in paper wealth since the Shanghai Composite peaked in mid-June, with a 30% drop since then. After a plunge of more than 8% on Monday, Chinese regulators said they were prepared to lend further support. While the central bank injected cash into money markets and hinted at further easing, and the Shanghai was only down 1.7% today at 36.63. Now, one report said traders saw stability in the Chinese markets, and that helped rally stocks in other countries, including the U.S. Unfortunately, it may be little more than temporary stability. Market crashes don't typically end with good news. They end with bad news that washes out all the remaining weak hands. Right now, it looks like we're seeing a dead cat bounce off the 200-day moving average. We'll have to see if it holds. From there, the next levels of support are around 3370, then around 3050. A delegation from the so-called Troika and the Eurozone Bailout Fund are in Athens to begin negotiations over an 86 billion euro bailout. The talks will start almost a week later than planned, raising pressure on Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, who's already struggling to keep his party from falling apart. A new bailout would have to be completed by mid-August if Athens is to secure billions of euros to repay ECB-held bonds that mature August 20th. Puerto Rico owes $72 billion, a sum its governor has declared it can't pay. But consultants in a hedge fund-backed report issued on Sunday insisted the island actually can come up with the cash. Hedge funds want their money, and so they're telling the debt-buried island to cut teachers, slash spending, and collect more taxes to deal with its fiscal crisis. Instead of letting Puerto Rico restructure its debt, the hedge fund report says the government should cut spending by $2 billion a year, cutting the number of teachers at public schools, slashing subsidies to the University of Puerto Rico, and reducing Medicaid and welfare benefits. The creditors also want Puerto Rico to sell off public properties and increase its collection of sales and property taxes to bring in $3 billion more per year. Seems we've heard this story somewhere else. Consumer confidence fell sharply in July to a 10-month low. The Consumer Confidence Index dropped to 90.9 from 99.8 in June. Home prices rose steadily in May. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller 20-City Home Price Index increased 4.9% in May from 12 months earlier, down slightly from a 5% pace in April. In Phoenix, home prices increased 0.8% from April to March, and prices are up 3.8% over the past 12 months. The Census Bureau reports the home ownership rate was 63.4% in the second quarter. That's the lowest reading since 1967. The number of owner households decreased by 400,000, while the number of renter households increased by 2 million. Well, that's a good sign for the rental market. Overall, a lack of homebuyers is likely a bad sign that incomes aren't keeping pace with rising home prices, keeping young buyers out of the housing market. Honeywell is buying Elster Group for $5.1 billion. Elster Group is a German-based energy and water business owned by the UK's Melrose Industries. Hikma Pharmaceuticals agreed to pay about $2.6 billion in cash and shares for generic drug maker Roxane. General Electric has offered to sell gas turbine assets to an Italian rival in another attempt to win EU approval for its plan to buy most of Alstom's energy business. On Monday, Alstom agreed to a 300 million euro reduction in the price it would get for selling its power turbines unit to GE to help the latter gain antitrust clearance. Global M&A volumes this year are on track to pass $3 trillion for the first time since 2007. Almost 20,000 deals worth a total of $2.1 trillion have been agreed already this year. Goldman Sachs holds the top spot on M&A advisory league tables for 2015, advising on 156 deals worth a total of $578 billion since January 1st. It's about $100 billion more in value than the same period last year. Healthcare, including pharmaceuticals and biotechnology, has been the most active industry with 1,441 deals in the first two quarters of 2015. Earnings reporting season is in high gear. BP announced a second quarter net loss of $5.8 billion. For BP, it's the biggest loss since the Deepwater Horizon disaster in the second quarter of 2010. The most recent results included a $10.8 billion charge for liabilities related to that spill, bringing the total set aside to more than $54 billion. The company also warned that low oil prices are here to stay. DuPont reported a 12% drop in quarterly profit hurt by a fall in agriculture earnings and a stronger dollar. Pfizer beat Wall Street expectations for the second quarter and raised its 2015 forecast. Merck's second quarter profit plunged by two-thirds, but they still managed to beat estimates and Merck raised its full-year forecast. Twitter posted second quarter earnings of 7 cents per share on $502 million in revenue, beating top-line and bottom-line estimates, but then on its conference, the company warned it would not see sustained, meaningful user growth for a considerable period of time. Package delivery company UPS reported a better-than-expected second-quarter profit on improved margins. UPS also said economic growth in the U.S. appears to be slowing. They lowered their forecast for second-half economic growth to 2.3% from 3.1%. They say retail has been weak, and it got weaker in June. UPS is the biggest member of the Dow Transports measured by total sales and market valuation, so it serves as a link between the companies that make products and their consumers. When the Dow Transports and UPS stock underperform the broader market, it could portend weakness in the broader market. Ford posted net quarterly profit of $1.89 billion, or 47 cents per share. It was 10 cents better than estimates. The company maintained its 2015 operating profit forecast of between $8.5 billion and $9.5 billion. The U.S. Marine Corps has finished tests and filled out the paperwork needed to turn the Lockheed Martin F-35 fighter jet into an operational aircraft. That's a key milestone in the $391 billion program that has suffered years of delays and cost overruns. When Marine Corps Commandant General Joe Dunford signs off on the filing, the F-35B fleet will have achieved initial operational capacity, becoming the first model of the Joint Strike Fighter that's ready for combat. New York City's LaGuardia Airport consistently ranked among the worst in the U.S. in cleanliness, design, and delays, now slated to be torn down and rebuilt. The $4 billion remodel of the 50-year-old Central Terminal will break ground in early 2016. It'll take about 39 months to complete. PC sales are down over the last year or so. Many people believe this is because of the popularity of mobile devices, but part of the blame must go to Windows 8. Microsoft is launching Windows 10 starting tomorrow. Microsoft is skipping from Windows 8 to Windows 10. Many people wonder what happened to number 9. I think I know. They replaced Windows 9 with Step 9, which requires them to make amends. Millions of computer owners will be able to download Windows 10 for free after tomorrow, marking the first time Microsoft has given away its latest Windows version without a fee. And if you wisely never updated Windows 7, or you are desperately longing to update Windows 8, do it. Wait for the weekend, just in case there's a problem, but do it. While many believe the push is to keep users on board, it may also highlight a shift in the overall strategy of Microsoft, which is looking to reverse a 4-year slide in PC sales. The software giant seems to now be moving away from making money just once, when it sells a fresh version of Windows, to generating long-term revenue by selling apps, web search ads, and other add-ons. The new Windows 10 should make amends by including things such as a startup button, splitting the screen between those apps tiles and the old desktop, a new voice assistant called Cortana, and a new browser called Edge, which you might actually want to use. There's a new number one in global auto sales. Volkswagen surpassed Toyota to become the biggest automaker by global vehicle sales for January-June period, first time the German automakers come out on top in the intensely competitive tallies. Toyota said it sold 5.02 million vehicles in the first half. Volkswagen sold 5.04 million. GM, which had been the long-running leader for some 7 decades until Toyota passed them by in 2008, GM reports their figure on Thursday. And finally, the Arizona Cardinals announced they have hired Jen Welter as an assistant coaching intern for training camp and the preseason to work with inside linebackers. Welter will be the first female coach in the NFL. Congratulations. We invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. You'll find text and audio and author interviews and a free podcast at eatthebankers.com.